Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is part three in a series entitled The Transgender Worldview, or rather, more generally, the LGBTQ worldview. And the question is this: who are these people? What do they believe? What are their motivations? What are their goals? What are their arguments? We all know quite a bit about this, but there's always more to consider. One thing is for sure. In these last days, in this prophesied great outbreak of evil before the coming of Christ, God is exposing the sinful nature of humanity. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. And God is parading all this out there for us to see, literally parading evil before us. This last Sunday was the 2023 Pride March that took place in New York City. It was a massive wall of people from 25th Street all the way to 5th Street with 75,000 marchers in the parade and at least 1 million spectators and supporters along the path. Now, not all of these people are practicing transgenders or homosexuals, but just as bad, there's a massive support from the general public for moral autonomy. The public celebrates homosexual pride with the homosexuals. And all this is visible on the internet for the whole world to see. This is all recorded on modern media. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 30. Go now, write it on a tablet before them, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord. And I believe that in these last days, God is establishing the testimony of what the rule of Satan looks like. God even wants his people to look into the face of evil and learn. It's no coincidence that in these modern times, we have access to all of this information, and there are media outlets reporting on the decline of the nation. At the Pride Parade this year, the chant that kept arising was, "We're here, we're queer, and we're coming for your children." So, why do they want to come for our children? Because they're pedophiles? Well, true. But it's also a belief that children need to be raised, not on Christian morals, but raised embracing LGBTQ sexuality in order to create a brave new world where man is sexually liberated. It's like the teaching of Rousseau and Freud that man in his natural primitive state, uninfluenced by the sexual morals and the gender constraints in society, man would be then free from all of this moral guilt and man would be happy. And additionally, to make a great world, children need to be taught to accept others, to accept the clean and the unclean, to accept the moral and the immoral, a moral equivalency in all behaviors. For it is moral judgmentalism, the judgmentalism of the Bible, that is alleged to make the world a horrible place. And people should be free to be what they are in their natural desires without any moral constraints coming from the state, the schools, the businesses, the churches, the parents, or even the overall culture. It's the slogan we're hearing, "You do you." Now, one of the themes in this year's Pride Parade in New York City was "Not your effing body, not your effing business." Here's some more points to keep in mind about LGBTQ ideology. Number one, they don't want any moral opposition to remain, where they might be made to feel ashamed or condemned. In fact, the attitude in the legal community is that opposition to LGBTQ is considered a threat. It's considered a health risk. So that offending LGBTQ is more of a crime than offending Christianity. Second, understand that these people believe that they're morally superior, that they're fighting for human rights, personal freedom, self-determination, and that those who hold to God's moral standards are actually the evil ones. Christians are depicted as the fascists who want to control. Third, understand how these positions are justified by the argument that traditional morals are fictitious social constructs made up by the powerful to oppress the weak, the nonconformists, the lesbians, the homosexuals, the transgenders, and the drags. And justice is to defend the weak and the outsider, and they believe this as their religion. And they believe Christians have misrepresented God and Jesus Christ because the Christ they believe in accepts everyone as they are. He gets us. That God is not all hung up on physical behavior. All that matters is feelings of love. And that God doesn't care if you want to change your gender. He just wants you to be happy. So know the enemy. Remember that Satan appears as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11. He promises them freedom, 2 Peter 2, with trickery, craftiness, and deceitful scheming, Ephesians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. As I've mentioned often, this LGBTQ ideology is nothing new. It's a revival in the last days of the original satanic lie in the garden, that God is the oppressor, that he's oppressing mankind with these rules, keeping Adam and Eve down because he wants to keep humanity from becoming like God, like himself, with full personal autonomy and authority. And therefore, Satan is considered the liberator. He's the true God. They talked about last week in my program about the ancient heresy of Gnosticism. The creator God is considered the evil demiurge. And Satan is considered the good eon emanating from the pure God who has come to liberate mankind. He then becomes a savior. But back to the question of who are these people? Psalm 73:12. Behold, these are the wicked. These are the ungodly persons who have crept in, turning the grace of God into license. Jude 4. Jude 8. These are the men who defile the flesh and reject authority. Verse 10. These are the men who revile things which they do not understand. They are like unreasoning animals. Jude 11. These are those who have gone the way of Cain and hold to the ideology of the false prophet Balaam. Verse 12, they don't have any fear. Verse 16, they're grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly. And back to verse 14, these are the kinds of people Enoch in the pre-flood world was preaching against. People who do ungodly deeds in ungodly ways and speak harsh things against God. Notice that the entire book of Jude is written to identify and describe these people. That this is the theme of the book. So apparently we need to know this. We need to answer the question, who are these people? So the topic of this week's program has a biblical precedent. Why do we need to know this? Not only to keep ourselves from being infected with this satanic ideology, but we need to know these things in our witness to the world. We have to explain to the unsaved the nature of the confession of Satan versus the confession of Christ. People must be informed concerning what they need to repent of. These false beliefs in human autonomy and the lawlessness of the Antichrist spirit. Now, what I'd like to do in the remainder of this program is cover some news stories and let them speak for themselves and explain the transgender worldview. I've been compiling news stories for months. I must have at least 200 stories I could share. Every day there seems to be a news story about transgenderism and the LGBTQ movement. You know, as I said earlier, this is of God, that there's an army of reporters chronicling the moral collapse of the nation. The motives of these reporters, such as reporters from Fox News or Epoch Times, may be to continually look for and report on salacious stories just to work up people's emotion, to work up their moral outrage, so that these news sites get more clicks and hence get more advertising dollars. But nevertheless, God is using that to expose the wickedness of this age, to call people to repentance in view of such obvious evils, so that mankind is also left without an excuse when judgment comes. Well, here's the first story. There's no particular order to this. Keith Ellison, the former chair of the Democrat National Committee and now the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, wrote an open letter from his office to the executives at Target, telling them that they need to continue to advertise and sell LGBTQ products. While morally concerned citizens in our country were offended by Target's products, Ellison took the time and the effort to support and celebrate Target, because it's become apparent that Ellison is a true believer in transgender ideology, that people should be free from God's moral law, and America needs to be like Sodom. And this open letter was also signed by the state attorney generals of New Jersey, California, Massachusetts, Arizona, Delaware, Connecticut, District of Columbia, Illinois, Maine, Nevada, New York, Vermont, Rhode Island, 15 states. And the open letter states, quote, "As attorney generals, with a strong commitment to protect the civil rights of LGBTQIA plus individuals, we write to express our resolute and unequivocal support for the LGBTQI plus community, as well as our concerns regarding recent events in Target stores involving intimidation and destruction of certain pride-related merchandise and Target's resulting decision to remove some pride merchandise from its stores." And the letter goes on to explain that all of these attorney generals are opposed to states that have passed laws prohibiting the teaching of LGBTQ in public schools, laws that ban youth from surgically transitioning, laws that prohibit men from competing in women's sports, laws that prohibit men from using girls' restrooms and locker rooms. And these chief legal heads of state are even opposed to any law prohibiting drag queen performances in public schools and libraries. So these attorney generals are not just open to transgender ideology, they are religious zealots for that ideology. And then the letter goes on to state that Target needs to keep selling LGBTQ products to help normalize LGBTQ in society. Quote, "Pride merchandise, like Target's, helps LGBTQIA plus people see that they enjoy considerable support and that loud and intimidating fringe voices and bullies do not represent the views of society at large." Notice these state attorneys, these state attorney generals, are calling those who hold to biblical morality bullies. And quote, "We urge Target to double down on inclusivity. And the letter even states that even though these states can't force Target to sell LGBTQ products, Target has to treat their customers equally, and there are laws against discrimination that these attorney generals can use against Target if Target doesn't sell LGBTQ products. Here's a political cartoon. Ellison is yelling at a Target manager to put back the LGBTQ bathing suit. So I looked up Keith Ellison's bio. He was raised in a Catholic home. His father was a psychiatrist. His mother was a social worker. He has a brother who's a pastor, the pastor of New Covenant Baptist Church in Detroit. And at first I said, well, that looks hopeful. There could be some gospel witness in Ellison's family. But no, as I looked into his brother's church, their website, the church celebrates LGBTQ month. And the church is part of the Progressive National Baptist Convention, sponsored by none other than Planned Parenthood. So how could a Baptist denomination support and be sponsored by Planned Parenthood? We know why. Theological liberalism doesn't believe in the authority of Scripture. Human utility, human rationalism, comes above the law of God. They believe God celebrates humanism. And these religious people can't even imagine that God would not affirm their desires and beliefs. Psalm chapter 50, verse 21. These things you have done, and I've kept silent. You thought that I was just like you. I'll reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. So that was an aside. But there's always a face. There's always a story behind the promoters of evil in a nation. This letter from these 15 state attorney generals is a frightening sign of the time. This is a letter that clearly delineates the Luciferian ideology for the state, where rather than, as we have in Romans chapter 13, the state being God's avenger against those who do evil, the state becomes Satan's avenger against those who do good. The end of all things is near. Luke 17, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So here are a few stories about the state defending and promoting LGBTQ. You know, just like Ahab and Jezebel promoted the practice of Baal worship in northern Israel, this is Antichrist government. First, Colorado Health Clinic invites children with autism to drag story hour. And there are many people working for the state who believe morality is LGBTQ ideology. And they have no reservations about normalizing it. Another story, federal judge blocks Indiana law protecting children from life-altering transgender procedures. And here the state legislators finally pass a law to protect children from castration and gender mutilation, and a leftist judge thwarts the law. And the ACLU was behind this judge's ruling. Also, Florida has passed a law protecting children from transgenderism. And of course, a leftist judge worked to stop that law. His argument, transgenderism for young people is gender-affirming care, and the state cannot stop medical care. A judge only thinks this way when he has a prior belief in moral relativism. Another story, a federal judge also rejected a Tennessee anti-drag in public school law. In New Jersey, the big story is that three local school boards passed regulations requiring faculty to tell parents if their children are wanting to change gender. The state attorney general in New Jersey, Plankin, He's a super leftist, and he sued these local school districts for making this ruling. Because the left truly believes the schools need to keep this hidden from parents, lest parents try to persuade their children otherwise. This is no conversion therapy applied to parents. In California, they have a bill that will take children away from parents if parents don't use their child's preferred pronoun, or if parents are opposed to their children wanting to change their gender medically. And of course, our president is flying the homosexual flag for Pride Month, and he held a Pride festival on the White House lawn. From Reuters, U.S. President Joe Biden on Saturday hosted the largest Pride celebration in White House history, calling for new measures to protect the rights and the safety of LGBTQ+ people. He urged Congress to pass the Equality Act, which would amend the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. So our president believes in, and he's an evangelist for the religion of LGBTQ. We just need to wake up and realize that this lawless immorality is not a fringe movement in our country. Here's an article commenting on a recent poll from Pew. 60% of Americans believe a person's sex is assigned at birth. A Rasmussen poll asked this question: do you agree or disagree with this statement? There are two genders, male and female. 71% agreed with the statement, including 57% who strongly agreed. Now, someone might look at that statistic and say, hey, this is great. Those who believe in natural gender are in the majority. But no, this is a horrible result. 4 out of every 10 Americans now believe that gender can be a choice, that God's natural law for gender needs to be overthrown. And this 40% mostly represents the power brokers in our society, the civic leaders, the teachers. And among the so-called 60% who don't buy into transgenderism, the majority in that group are fine with homosexual marriage. And the secular state model for government, let people do what they want. And true Christians with a biblical worldview and a biblical understanding of government are probably around 5 to 10% of the population. The way is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The gate is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. So the lesson, Revelation chapter 13, the day will come when the whole world will worship the beast. The whole world, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. Now, I don't want to discourage the saints. As I've said often, I believe what will happen is that God will let the ungodly take over the institutions of government so that the people will be judged. But in the grassroots, the church will have the real power. We will be winning a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of Christ. We don't need the state. We don't need the government to win. The governments of men going over to the prince of darkness is merely for the purpose of first exposing sin and then judging sin. Remember the prophecy in Daniel 2:44? God will set up a kingdom, and that kingdom will crush and put an end to all of these kingdoms. Well, back to news stories. Even though this is Pride Month, thank God conservatives in the Senate held hearings about the problem of transgenders in women's sports. Notice that no one's complaining about transgenders in men's sports, because the reality is that there is a difference between men and women, a difference that's being denied by the LGBTQ movement for ideological reasons. Why? In order for people to truly be free from God's establishment of gender and truly be able to choose one's own gender completely, men have to be able to compete in women's sports. Otherwise, one is not truly a woman. With all of the rights of a woman, one would just be a partial woman, and they can't have that. And so LGBTQ activists are now claiming whatever disparities are created by transgenders in women's sports, it's worth the harm because it alleviates the greater harm of people having to be confined to their God-given gender. These people actually believe this, and they teach this new hierarchy of values. Anyway, Riley Gaines testified to the Senate about the abuse women are facing from transgenders, men claiming to be women in women's sports. Riley Gaines is the national women's swimming champion who was beat by the transgender Leah Thomas. Notice the picture here. Thomas is a monster up against these girl swimmers. I heard Riley Gaines speak last month at the Pastors Turning Point USA Pastor Summit in Nashville. And the abuse of the women on these swimming teams by these transgenders is unbelievable. The LGBTQ ideologues in sports management and in university leadership believe that Riley Gaines and other women athletes who have objections need to go for psychological deprogramming. In this hearing, Senator John Kennedy, the Republican senator from Louisiana, asked Keely Robinson, who is the head of the LGBTQ activist group, Human Rights Campaign. Robinson is a lesbian married to Becky George. Well, the senator asked Robinson, "So you don't think that a biological male has a physical advantage in sports over a biological female?" And Robinson said, "No, not as a definitive statement." Then Kennedy asked, "How many female members of the NBA do you see?" Robinson said, "Well, I can say that, you know, there's been this news article about men that think that they could beat Serena Williams in tennis, right? That they think that they could actually score a point on her. And it's just not the case. She is stronger." Then Kennedy quickly brought the question over to Riley Gaines, who immediately pointed out that both Serena and Venus lost to the 203rd-ranked male tennis player. And then Riley stated, "My experience, my husband, he swam at the University of Kentucky. In terms of accolades and in terms of national ranking, I was a much better swimmer than him. But he could kick my butt any day of the week without even trying." So what we're learning from such encounters is that the unsaved in the rebellion to God have to deny the realities of this world, the realities of nature, because these realities are in accord with the law of nature and nature's God. There is written revelation, the Bible, and there is natural revelation. Psalm 19, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Romans chapter 1, there is a natural function of the man and the woman, and there is an unnatural function that homosexuals engage in. Romans chapter 1, verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural." Literally in the Greek, paraphusis, contrary to nature. So there is a natural law written into the creation concerning the differences and the roles of men and women. But since these people hate God's law and God's restraints, they despise and reject natural law. Psalm chapter 2, "The kings of the earth, they set themselves against the Lord and against his Messiah, saying, 'Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. And this includes not only wanting to throw away the written moral law of God, but also the constraints of God's natural law. And by rejecting natural law, they also have to reject reason and common sense, because that too is a gift from God, given to discern right from wrong. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Hence, for these people, there is no difference between men and women, even in athletics. Their humanist beliefs trump reality. They get to justify their sin by denying natural revelation, but they become fools in the process. Even Satan is a fool in denying the rightful authority of God. Now, as far as a verse that explains this denial of natural law, where the unsaved eventually hate the laws of the natural world, there are quite a few texts. But consider just one text from Jude verse 10, again from the New Testament book that addresses the LGBTQ heresy. So this is Bible study time. Jude 10, "But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed." The word for instinct is the Greek word phusis, the Greek word for nature or natural. And so the text is saying that these men revile that which is natural. And this natural revelation has been made known to mankind. So the text says they know what is by nature, and they revile what is by nature. And so they lose their reasoning and become like unreasoning animals. And the verse goes on to say that in this denial of reality, by this they will be destroyed. The unsaved will destroy themselves if they try to fight against God's natural order. Now, in this hearing, the leftist senator, Dick Durbin, came to the defense of transgenderism. Durbin said lawmakers need to be careful when talking about this issue. Quote, "At this point, I'd like to remind our colleagues, our children are listening, and they are in danger. In fact, today's transgender youth are among the most at risk of homelessness, depression, and death by suicide. So when these young people, who are already struggling, hear politicians amplify hateful rhetoric that denies their very existence, what message does it send?" I hope you picked up on all of the evils in Durbin's statement there. Teaching God's morals is not denying the existence of immoral people. And Dick Durbin's philosophy means that no one could ever make any moral judgments because it denies the existence of such people. Well, Riley Gaines responded, "What about the rights of young women? Aren't they in danger of discrimination and abuse by these transgender athletes, taking from these girls all that they've worked for?" Quote from Riley, "Senator Durbin, in your opening statement, you had mentioned this rhetoric. You had mentioned that what message does this send to trans individuals? And my comeback is this. What message does this send to women, to young girls who are denied these opportunities? So easily, their rights to privacy and safety thrown out of the window to protect a small population, protect one group as long as they're happy. What about us?" That's the overall consensus of how we all felt in that locker room. So how did Durbin respond? He actually went on to repeat the transgender talking point. He said, quote, Since reference was made to my earlier statement, I would just like to add something for the record. There is no evidence that transgender athletes are an issue at certain level of sports. No evidence that transgenders are an issue. And yet he has Riley Gaines and a whole group of women in front of him proving that it's an issue. Do you know who Dick Durbin is? He's been a fixture in Democrat politics since the Clinton years. He's 79 years old. He wasn't raised to think this way. He's old enough to know better. He knows that transgenders in women's sports wasn't even considered rational 15 years ago in Washington. But he has gone down the slippery slope of the culture as the way of the righteous is to shine brighter and brighter every day. The way of the wicked is to fall into further darkness. Proverbs chapter 4. Senator Durbin has abandoned reason and common sense because his source of authority has always been human opinion. So even the old guard Democrats are now ideological zealots for the LGBTQ agenda. Because the foundation, the worldview of humanism, and human autonomy from God has infected the culture. And that will always lead down that slippery slope and will lead to the embracing of the Antichrist spirit. In closing, where do you stand? What's your confession? For God or for Satan? The line is being drawn in the sand. Sides are being chosen. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Subscribe, like, share. Leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.